Welcome to the Analyst Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the last Thursday, 30 minutes of trades here of the regular season. So we will we'll reboot and get some stuff going into the offseason. We'll cover all this here and give you an idea kind of heading into the offseason on some values of players. So let's just run it down. Couple of thirds for Jerick McKinnon. That's almost an automatic situation where you have to start him. Right? That's kind of why you're making that trade. Yeah, I think of a situation like Derrick Henry, and he's going to be out this week. You know, Pollard might be out this week. Those guys, you probably, there's a good chance that you're deep into the playoffs with them, right? So you could be trying to fill in a spot like that with McKinnon. I don't hate the deal, right? I think you're looking for a guy from that range, like that can, that can make a difference for you in a spot start situation. And this is like the ultimate spot start situation. It seems like a lot, right? When you're thinking of, oh, this might be like two top 30 picks, something like that, two top 40 picks. And a rookie draft, this is super flex draft. This looks like, by the looks of it, it's a safe leagues format. So it does feel like a bit. However, I would say like this is kind of why you stash future picks, right? So that way you can use them when you need them. And this is one of those situations probably, right? That would be the reason why I would do this. So I don't have a problem with this if you have a spot start situation for a championship. A first and a second for Austin Eckler and Isaiah Likely. I'm assuming that this is going to be where this person is still in this, right? So this is a late first. It's pretty cheap for Eckler, would be sort of my assumption on the late first aspect. If you're heading into the off season and this is kind of like an early to mid first, I don't know if I love that as much. I'm not sure I necessarily love sort of that cost. But if this is a contending team, right? I think you're in a good spot that this pick is late, right? If this is if you're heading into a finals, right, this is going to be a really late pick. And, you're getting a little bit of insulation with Isaiah Likely. At second, so 1.75 PPR. So that's about fair. I don't know if I'd necessarily go out and tie that cost up if I'm doing a deal right now. I don't know if I'd necessarily tie up a second on Isaiah Likely, but if it's part of a bigger deal, if that second was part of what got this deal done, you get Isaiah Likely out of it. It works. Jalen Warren for Jerick McKinnon. This feels like it's injury away for injury away, sort of. I think future injury away, right? The person that's trading for McKinnon's probably in the championship. So there's that. There's no guarantee that Warren's insulated at all. Right. So, I get it. Right. You're hoping to reset the clock, but he's blocked. Right. There's probably a better chance that McKinnon's a difference maker next year. I get it. I get turning the page. But I think if I'm going to do that deal for McKinnon, I'd want something a little bit better than just sort of going to the taking a lateral step. That would sort of be my thought. I don't really like lateral step trades, and this feels like what it is. Garrett Wilson for Javonte Williams. Love the Garrett Wilson side of this, right? You get a rookie season, proof of concept. We know he can translate to the NFL. Really good, in the top, definitely in the top five, depending on how you want to measure it, of rookie wide receivers. There's him, Olave, Drake London. I think you probably put Christian Watson in that group. The guys that are sort of front of mind there. And then after that, you've got a little bit more questions, but you're going from running back sort of in that range to wide receiver in the same range. And it's generally a trade that we like. And we have really good proof of concept on like an elite ceiling for Garrett Wilson. So give me the Garrett Wilson side pretty comfortably in that deal. Gardner Minshew for a fourth next year and a third in 2024. This doesn't necessarily feel like it's a spot start. So that's not how I'm analyzing this one. I do think that there's like a chance that Gardner Minshew has outs, right? I mean, he's kind of proven that he can play. And I don't know, it's going to get weird contractually. And do you start if you're going to have to start paying for guys like this, right? He's an undrafted, he's an unrestricted free agent after this year. So do you have to, you know, what do you have to pay for him in the NFL? I'm interested in that. You know, is he a 2023 starter? You know, what's his contract look like? Right. I mean, those are things that I'm really interested to see, because he could play himself into, you know, depending on, it seems like that the, it definitely seems like Jalen Hurts is going to be back. So you're not going to probably get the, you know, the playoff bump that you might get from a guy like Bridgewater. Now, you're probably not going to get that with Minshew. But you might get a couple more games here where of him, you know, of him kind of playing for a job. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's an interesting spec bet, right? You're not out anything really if you lose, right? You are trying to future flexibility. I don't love that, but you're doing it in the fourth and third round. So, you know, and it's the third year, 2 years out. I don't mind the deal, right? I don't mind the deal, especially if you're trying to like kind of throw darts at cheap quarterbacks because you don't have a solution. Like, I actually think that that's kind of a way to do it. Brady for a second, right, assuming that's a contending team. I don't love that, actually. If you're a contending team, like, hey, let's think a second to Brady right now. Like, do we want to start him this week? I don't know if I necessarily love that. That's probably the going price for him. I get it. But I think it's funny if that team is like, yeah, I'm going to start Brady. Like, is that something we want to do right now? Like, does this deal go away in the offseason? You know, sort of those types of things. But it's probably a late second, so I understand the deal. But I'd be a little bit skeptical if you're going to, like, plug and play. Is it really worth trading a second for whoever your option is in a championship game over, you know, over Brady, right? This would almost have to be like a Jalen Hurts injury type team. Austin Eckler for Marquise Brown, Mike Evans, and Shiga Kongwu. This is a little bit of premium for tight ends. It's like some tiered PPR. It's like 0.2 for running backs, 0.4 for wide receivers, and 0.75 for tight ends. I'm pretty sure that's a point per carry type scoring system is kind of how I'd view this one. So it's a little bit of a premium. I don't think it's anything like approaching our 2 PPR or anything like that. You know, this feels like, you know, this, I like Evans, like I like Marquise Brown, I like Shiga Kongwu, like I like those guys. This does just feel like you're giving up the best player in the deal in moving down to, you know, I think those guys could be difference makers, but Eckler could be a trump card. He's going to finish running back one. I think you're writing him off a little bit with this deal. I understand it, but this does feel like it's kind of a I would try and do more for this. I'd want a better piece, right? I think I would want, you know, you're trading into a position where, you know, it's a wide receiver two and Marquise Brown. You're trading into a quarterback question with Mike Evans. And then you're trading into like a tight end in the teens, which is historically like kind of a dubious bet. So I would just take Eckler and I would try and do better with it at some point into the future. Kyler Murray and Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Jared Goff and Najee Harris. This is almost only a deal that you could get done if you are a team that's out of it. I would take the Murray side of this just because I think the quarterback upgrade's worth it, right? You're paying for it at a depth, at a position where you can figure running back out, like Najee Harris, like the profile, like the cost right now. But I think you're really taking a step up in quarterback and you're playing the long game on this. I think that's the right call. Cordarrelle Patterson, Christian Watson, and a 2023 first for Saquon Barkley. Now, this one's interesting. I'd be super curious to see where this pick was. You know, this feels a little bit better in terms of, like, this could be a dynasty trade, or it could be a trade for this week. There's a real chance it's a dynasty trade, something in the mid-first. I think that's super interesting. You know, Barkley's going to hit free agency. Not entirely sure what the market's going to look like for running backs right now. Like, this is a big season for kind of mid-tier quarterbacks. This is a big year for sort of running back contracts, right? Those are two of the big things that I'm watching for in terms of big-time questions. So, yeah, that's definitely a scenario where if this is like 110, I don't love that rookie pick. If this is something in the middle of the round, you know, maybe I try and do something a little bit different than Patterson in this deal, but that's a pretty interesting deal. That's a pretty interesting return here for Barkley. So, and given how good Christian Watson's been, I'm interested on the Watson side. I'd be interested in the pick. Late first round, don't love it. Mid first round, I'm kind of compelled. I would try and tinker with the Patterson piece to see if I can get myself a little bit better piece there. All right, Tua, Tyreek Hill, Terrace Marshall, a third and a fourth. For Lamar Jackson, John Menchie, Debo Samuel, and a second. So let's just set the picks aside here for a second. And we'll set kind of Terrace Marshall and John Menchie aside for a second, right? You know, similar enough, right? Just put everything there, you know, the third and the fourth, you know, in the second. We'll just sort of set all that aside. Let's just boil this down, and then we'll come back to the other pieces. So I think you boil this deal down to it's Tyreek Hill and Tua for Lamar Jackson and Debo Samuel. I think you really have to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself what you think of these quarterbacks, right? There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of questions about Tua in terms of the concussion right now. It's being his second one, right? And what do we kind of say, right? You don't want to invest in a one-hit quarterback who is, you know, not a top six guy. And that's typically a spot where you got to be careful. And so Tua is kind of like on the experience progress track. Like he's kind of, you know, he's like his, you know, his hit progress. He's basically, you know, right where kind of where you would expect in terms of experience, a little bit on the older side of that. And so you sort of look and you say, all right, like this is a year three hit. It's a little bit late, right? It's not a top six pit. It's not a top six hit. So it's a little bit of a caution there. And then you say, okay, well, Tyreek Hill's probably better than Debo Samuel. But then the question is, like, what do you want to do with Lamar Jackson, right? I think – so I'm a little probably below market on Tua just because we don't necessarily love that profile, so I'd be cautious of that. You come back and you say Lamar Jackson, like, I really like that profile. I would like it better if there was – like, if you look and I got – I guess I got in some trouble in a football guy staff chat. Not in actual trouble, but, you know, as I am – provocative and questioning the, you know, star ascendancy of young players. One of the things I said was, you know, there's questions that still loom about Lamar Jackson's passing ability. You know, people decided to sort of jump on me and say he won an MVP, which is true. That said, like, when you actually look at the passing stuff, right, people do question his passing stuff. That is a factual statement. But if you actually look at some of the stuff, you know, my question is kind of pocket stuff and clean pocket stuff, sort of not on play action, right? If you actually boil down Lamar Jackson's career, he's been excellent on play action stuff. He's been excellent on that sort of stuff. What he has been sort of worse on throughout his career, and it has been dropping, is from just a clean pocket, the no play action stuff. Right? That stuff has gotten worse. And so I think that there's a rational explanation for that. I think part of it could be the scheme. I think the other thing could be the you're throwing it to Devin Duvernay, right? I mean, that wasn't a responsible decision that Baltimore did this year. And it almost feels like it's self-defeating, right? It's almost like it's, you know, someone did it for the purposes of actually kind of tanking the passing game. You know, so I think you do have to kind of make a judgment on this. I would say that the proper profile bet is the Lamar Jackson bet over Tua. You know, Tyreek Hill, I think, is significantly better than Debo. You know, that's I think I'm pretty comfortable saying that. But, you know, Tyreek Hill's older, right? Debo's actually not that young either. So that's an interesting part of this and has been banged up. But I think ultimately, like long-term, this looks better for Lamar Jackson sort of over the next 24 months than it does for Tua. And so that's kind of how I would look at this deal. I think there's a lot of different moving pieces to it. I think you could probably tinker with it a little bit as well. I'd be interested, too, if that third and fourth, right, if that early second on the Lamar Jackson, Menchie, Debo side, if that is an early second, I'd be curious to see kind of I think that does make a difference, right? If it's a, you know, early third and a early fourth for a late second, that doesn't make that much of a deal. That doesn't make that much of a difference. But if that's an early second, right, that might be in the, inside the line of like a first round wide receiver or something like that. So a much more sort of, I do think that that matters sort of ancillary to this deal, but it would be sort of a little bit of a nudge to say, okay, like I feel a little bit better about sort of the other pieces of that package. But I think I'd take the Lamar Jackson side. I think it's a compelling discussion point sort of around about all how you feel about a bunch of different players. Jalen Waddle for Christian McCaffrey. I mean, what do we sort of say? Like, that's a, it's a little bit richer of a deal than the Javonte Williams, Garrett Wilson one, right? That's a little bit richer of a deal. McCaffrey better than Williams, right? I think Waddle more proven than Wilson. So this is a step up. You're not as apt to do that deal as the running, as you get sort of up in running backs on established teams would be the one thing I would say. Like at the very, very elite at running back, you know, I'm a little bit, right? If I'm sort of going mid running back for mid wide receiver, you know, and especially if I like the profile of the mid wide receiver, like that's usually the bet to make. If you have a like a transcendent running back, do you want to sort of give that up for a wide receiver, right? That is a ceiling capping situation. It's obviously risky to have the running back, you know, so I do think it's a little bit different, but I would take the Waddle side of this, right? I think that's a good cash out for McCaffrey. What do you see about these two deals that I think is, that I think is important about team building? Is you get right. This is, I'm writing AOD 2023 and I'm still sort of in the process of like how much of, the theme of it is team building, right? And I'm actually going to rename it. I think I'm going to rename it the AOD team building guide, right? The dynasty team building guide, or the dynasty team building Bible is a little bit too presumptuous for me. So, but the dynasty team building guide presented by AOD is kind of what I'm thinking. And so I'm sort of looking at it, right? Some editions we look kind of at player profiles. Like I'll probably track back to that one next year. But this one I really wanted to sort of hone in on strategy, because I think there's a lot of stuff that we, you know, that I at least sort of put into practice that I've learned from AOD, right? Some of the techniques and the tactics and the strategy stuff that I've learned from my AOD writing process that I actually haven't ever written down. But one of the things that I sort of I think more and more about, and actually this dawned on me, you know, I was building a fire actually this week, and it dawned on me, and I was thinking about some stuff for the book, and it dawned on me as I sort of lit the paper, right? I had the paper in my thumb and my forefinger, and I had it up in the air, and that my plan was to light the paper and then stick it in the fireplace around the wood so that, you know, I'd built like a little teepee or whatever, and so that way it would burn up. And so I did it, and I sort of lit the top corner, right? So if you're thinking of, you got it in your finger and your between your finger and your thumb, it's up in, you know, the paper's up in the air, and I lit the top corner of it, and it just slowly sort of burned and slowly sort of burned, and it didn't really help the fire. And so the next time that I had the paper in my hand, I picked up another piece of paper. I did the same kind of thing with it, except I lit it from the bottom. And what you saw about the bottom was the thing just exploded. It didn't actually explode, but which it went, it got really consumed really quick. It burned at a significantly faster pace than when you lit it from the top. And it was funny because I was like, you know, that's an apt dynasty analogy. Like, that's a rebuilding dynasty analogy, right? Because when you start at the top of your dynasty team and say, all right, we're going to burn from the top and we're going to rebuild from the top, most people think that is to go, you know, we're going to break up the top guys and we're going to get younger, which I think's typically not a great idea, right? Because what you do is you set your clock back, you know, you turn yourself into being a rebuilding team where we just want to retool, right? We want to sort of, we don't want to set our clock back. We want to always be contending, right? And so when people burn from the top, right, what they're doing is lighting the top asset on fire, and it turns into multiple different pieces, and that's a slow burn in terms of, you know, in terms of consuming the rebuild there, right? Consuming the process, it takes a really long time for that to sort of to work out. But if you do it from the bottom, right? If you sort of say, all right, I'm going to rebuild from the bottom, where I'm going to use the non-star assets. If we go back to our hierarchy of assets, I'm going to use the non-star, I'm going to use the non-sort of core assets, and I'm going to use them as potential pieces, whether that's to upgrade, whether that's to go get me another star, right? I'm going to use that as a way to really reshape my team. I'm going to start from the bottom and sort of work up, right? I'm not going to worry about sort of building out the bottom. I'm going to use the bottom to build up to the top. That takes off, right? That type of build takes off. So what you see is when you sort of come back to this, right? These are good deals in terms of rebuilding from the top. Right, you don't necessarily love to sort of, cash out the top part of your roster, you know, for multiple pieces, but you're not in either of these two deals. What you're doing is you're moving from running back to wide receiver. You're staying sort of in the same asset group, right? You might get more security. You might get more stability. That's a deal that makes a lot of sense, right? Because what I think when people sort of start lighting the top of their roster on fire, they just say, all right, I'm going to build out depth. And that is a completely self-defeating proposition, right? So a little bit inspired. I don't know if the analogy works. I got to work on it. But just for me, in terms of thinking about it, I saw it in the way that it lit on fire, that it takes off from the bottom a lot quicker. And when you're sort of setting on the fire to sort of go up, right, it goes a lot quicker than to sort of start on the top and sort of go down. It goes much, much slower. So that is, something I think we continue to think about is how to build out these teams. And it's almost never to tear apart the top guys and break them into packages. It's always to package up, right? And there's times to package down, right? There's times to sort of arb down. But that's typically not with a star player going to pieces, right? That's not typically the way that we do that. There's ways to do it, but it's not typically in that sense. All right, so some more stuff here. A third for Latavius Murray, a 2024 third for Latavius Murray. That's feels all right. You know, you've almost got to be starting him this week would sort of be the thought. I don't love paying that far out either, right? They're tying up future flexibility. I wonder how much of a difference he's actually going to make on your roster. So I'd ask those questions of this person. If this is a spot where, hey, I lost Derrick Henry, and I need a guy, right? I get it. But I'd be sort of really skeptical about making this deal and asking myself, is this really going to make a difference? 2023 second for Andy Dalton and Baker Mayfield. I find this one really interesting because you're two-way going it, right? If you're the person that's sort of making the deal for the quarterbacks, you're basically have two different things going on. Number one, you're making the Dalton bet. And you're saying, you know, is he a potential out for 2023 with the Saints? I think that's possible, right? Does he get another opportunity someplace else? You know, I've seen him kicked around as an idea for an Arizona bridge starter with Murray out. Yeah, they got Colt McCoy in-house, right? I don't know how different Dalton and McCoy are at this point in their career. But, there's going to be teams that could be potentially interested in him, right? And so if you're thinking about that, like that's an interesting proposition if you're trying to fix quarterback. You know, Baker was playing up and down with the Rams. There's a good game, bad game, good game, you know, bad game. It's kind of the Baker Mayfield experience. And you're kind of trying to do the same thing, right? You're trying to hit a 2023 starter. So I get that. The question I would say, does this deal go away? And at any point, right, because you're basically trying to take a two-for-one bet and hope that one of them hits, right, is kind of what you're doing with this deal. If one of them does hit, are they worth any more than this pick? Dalton's not. I don't think Mayfield is either. And so I come back to asking myself, why are you doing this now? Right, I understand the process. I don't understand the timing. So that would be the thing that I would say. I think the second can get you something, can help you out in a way further down the line that if you keep it flexible, right, you're not speculating right now, right? This is a future asset that can help you down the line. You're speculating with it right now, and I don't love the way you're doing it. So I would be cautious about doing that. I'd keep the pick liquid and use it to figure out your quarterback solution down the line. But I think the two-way go is interesting. I think the build's interesting. I just wouldn't make the bet right now, right? If you're making this bet and it's, you know, these guys are heading into week one, right, and they're both starters, right, that's a better bet. Now, sort of in this time span, is not. Anthony McFarland in a third for Minshew. I don't have a problem with that. You're probably starting him right now, right? That's probably why you're making this deal this week. I get it. I would, you know, it's a third, right? McFarland's a roster filler at this point. And so it's a third for Minshew. And again, I think he has outs. I like this deal more than I like the Dalton Mayfield one in terms of trying to hunt out a 2023 starter. And I think that's a better deal because, you know, you can still figure, if you miss on that, you can still use that second to get, someone else, right? You can still figure that out where it's a lot tougher to get a 2023 starter for a third round pick. You know what I mean? So I'd much rather sort of take the speculative bet at Minshew like this. All right, KJ Osborne for Pierre Strong, a third and three force. Lots of force stashes there. Here's the interesting thing about Osborne. You could say on one hand, right, Thielen kind of aging out. Is he more of a three than he is a two right now? Right, so seeing some of that. Right, I think there is some potential. Contractual security right now for him that he's probably going to be back there, but he's back there in a more diminished role, right? Is KJ Osborne proven that he can step up into that role? So I think it's an interesting question. The only concern that I would have, the biggest concern that I would have is are the Vikings going to double dip at the position? Right? Is this Vikings team going to come back and say, hey, listen, you know, we need some cost savings and we can't really afford to we're going to have to pay Jefferson. We're going to have to, you know, we're going to ultimately have to figure out our quarterback situation in terms of the contract. You know, we got some other contract stuff to figure out. Do they just double dip and say, all right, we're going to take a receiver. We know that'll get us some cost savings here over the next, 4 years. And now Osborne hasn't really risen, right? Osborne's really like the Gabe Davis of this year, right? That's kind of like he's Gabe Davis. Right, that's very much like the Gabe Davis type situation, with a lesser quarterback, right? With a lesser quarterback, and so, do you want to sort of tie up all these assets? You know, I think Pierre Strong could be interesting next. You know, as a potential injury away guy as well. I'd probably keep the package. I understand the deal. I'd probably go about it a different way. Tyquan Thornton in a third for Jerick McKinnon. That feels a little bit more expensive. Again, Tyquan Thornton could be nothing. It's just a third for McKinnon. If you're starting him right now, I get it. I think that's if you're selling McKinnon, I think that's an interesting, hey, I'm going to just take a shot on a day two guy, right? That's a good way to sort of, use that roster spot. I find that one interesting. Thornton would be a guy I think to add, to take the stash in the offseason. Brock Purdy involved in a deal here. Brock Purdy for Damian Harris and Devontae Parker. Feels like Brock Purdy for a second. It's kind of what it feels like. A little expensive for me, but you're doing it in the form of players, and you're like, how much does Damian Harris really make a difference? How much does Devontae Parker make a difference? I don't think Purdy has a 2023 out as I sit here right now. I could be wrong on that. Heck, maybe he's a trade candidate. Maybe Trey Lance is a trade candidate. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm skeptical of that just because I don't think, historically every base rate would tell us that, first round, that franchise quarterbacks don't come from Mr. Irrelevant, right? Now, Mr. Irrelevant doesn't typically get a chance to play as a starting quarterback, but, I'm skeptical of that. So I think, you're not really paying a ton for this, right? I think Harris has 2023 outs, but he's banged up and he could just be relegated to backup duty too. So I think I get it why you would do this. I don't hold the same sort of hope for Purdy. The other thing you could say about this deal is, well, you're opening up a roster spot to potentially stash him one, right? That's the other way I think about this too. So I could see it either way. Probably the premium position would sort of do it for me, but I don't think he's really solving a premium position because I don't think he's got 20, 23 outs, but I could be on the low side of him. All right, last one here. Tyreek Hill for Brandon Cooks, Cole Kmet, Sterling Shepard, and a 2024 first. You know, you don't trade future first unless you get a top 30 asset. You're getting a top 30 asset, and no one else in this deal really makes that much of a difference. I'd take Hill, and that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue to embrace variance. We'll talk again soon.